Glamour Pets. Time now at 9:30 on a Monday morning to welcome in City Manager Ed Gordon and members of the staff and or management of the City of Bartlesville. And Mr. Gordon, first of all, nice to have you back in here this morning. You brought a little bit smaller crew than sometimes.
It's not quantity this time, Charlie. It is quality. This time. Good to see you this morning.
Good morning.
We needed the rain.
Got a nice rain
this weekend.
Just a little bit over an inch. I don't remember exactly. But I think
Phil said something about 1.3 at the airport or something like that.
6 o'clock
or whatever it was this morning when you all were giving your report.
Your individual backyard rain gauge may vary.
May vary across the city. It certainly would. Just a couple of things that I want to mention, housekeeping items. Charlie, I know it's a little early yet.
Okay.
But so citizens know, there will be an Operation Clean House. Now, that's going to be in April.
That's typically on or around Earth Day, around the 20th of April.
That's right. It's 22nd of April this time. So folks need to be preparing for that because I know they have to kind of get things organized and so they can haul it to the
particularly if you're having Freon removed from a cooling device or something like that.
That's right. Got to be Freon-free. But this is going to happen. So put it on your calendar. April 22nd, Kelly's got it out there on the website, cityofbartlesville.org. You can read about it there. Also, Charlie, I would mention we just wrapped up our tree mulching.
Yes.
How successful,
I assume?
Well, yes, and now that becomes available. We receive trees up until the 22nd, and now then the Parks Department will go there and turn that into mulch.
Okay.
And you can gather that up on a first-come, first-served basis. So on the top side, or what would be the south side hill of Sooner Park, the furthest south entrance, if you turn in and then turn hard to the right into the parking lot there, you'll see a fenced-off area, and you can pick up mulch. It's free, again, on a first-come, first-serve basis, so they may want to take advantage of that.
Free mulch is always good.
It is.
Larry Glass typically recommends about an inch and a half to 2.5 inches around. So
never miss Larry's show on Saturday morning. His hour-long program starting at 8 o'clock on KWN. I always enjoy listening to that before consumer call.
Sure, exactly.
Charlie, the Public Safety Center. That's its construction title. We're getting close on that, and in fact, I suspect within the next 2 weeks, we'll be, except for the punch list for items, we'll be moving into that. The firemen have already moved in to the living quarters.
Say, one of the guys that gets to make sure that punch list is completed, I assume, is sitting next to you.
He is sitting. In fact, he's been punching that list from the day that the project started. Chief Banks has been punching that list, Charlie, keeping a sharp eye on Crossland Construction and those guys that work there and making them toe the line. But the firemen are staying in the new facility.
They moved in. They've been there about a month now, I think. They've been there quite a while.
In the sleeping quarters. And of course, there's construction going on around them because the second floor of the old building, the farthest north building. What's going on there?
Well, they came in and totally gutted that second floor, which was the old living quarters where the firefighters used to stay.
When you said gutted that, you took me up there.
Yeah.
A month and a half ago, you said, "Come and look at this."
Yeah.
And when he says gutted it,
that's what he meant.
There was absolutely nothing.
There
left
was the outside walls left.
Even the windows were gone.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing to see that with all that gone. It's going to be a really nice space for us up there.
And as you look at the construction of that building, it was built probably in the 40s, I think.
Yeah, I think 1940, I think is what it says on the plaque out front.
And if you look at that building,
is it 41?
What's it made out of?
Concrete and lots of it.
That thing is built. We talk about tornado tough. That thing is a tough building.
Oh yeah, there's probably. Some of the walls they tore out were 18 inches thick.
Concrete.
It was brick and concrete, but there's a lot of concrete. They don't build them like that anymore.
No, they don't build them like that anymore. It's an amazing building that's there, and I'm glad we were able to save that. What's becoming of that? I know we've got the trucks parked on the first floor, What's happening on the second floor of the old fire hall?
On the second floor, that's where fire administration will be. That's where my office, the deputy chief and the training officer and my secretary, that's where we'll all be. There's an elevator. We finally have an elevator after all these years. So when you come into the new part of the station, actually, where the two buildings kind of connect, there's an elevator. And you can go up to the second floor. You'll see Beverly first, and then my office and Bill's and Dave's is down that hall. And then on the very north end
will be my office.
Will be Ed's office. Yeah, he'll be up training. No, Ed, your office is we didn't make an office for you. Actually, we do have a storage area up there. You maybe could utilize that for your space. Anyway, so there's a real nice training room up here that's going to have some audio visual equipment stuff,
which we've long needed for a long time. Which the department has not had.
No, we haven't. We had a training room, but it was built in 1941.
It still had chalkboards.
And
when I say chalkboards.
Chalkboards.
Not whiteboards.
Green
chalkboards.
Green chalkboards, yeah.
Which I still like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's going to be, and it will be, it will hold 40 people, so we can have a class for 40 people in that classroom, and it's going to be nice.
Yeah, and we do anticipate that building, of course, the punch list. It's finishing up. Mm-hmm. It's coming to a conclusion.
Yeah, I think now our move-in date, I think, is February the 6th is what they're shooting for. We'll see.
Well, and we anticipate that. I know that I've wandered through it, and every time, even though just a couple of days go by that I walk through, it's amazing the amount of work that they've gotten done.
Yeah.
It's very close.
So. Yeah, it's close, and a lot of the stuff right now that's left is kind of little things, it's hard to see, it's just little things that's left to be done. That it's not
but
framing walls that you see it immediately, and now you got to kind of hunt for something to see what they've done.
Caulk in that corner.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, something. Yeah. Trim piece over that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it's beginning to fall. Well, Chief Banks. Chief John, how long have you been chief with the fire department now?
Just a little over 2 years.
And John, how long have you been with the Bartlesville Fire Department?
A long time.
How long is that?
Be 38 years in April.
38 years in April you went to work for the fire department.
Yes.
Who was the chief back then?
Robert Ladd.
Robert Ladd was the chief. I think you went to work about the time my brother-in-law went to work there.
Jimmy was already working there. We're talking about Jimmy Lawrence.
Jimmy Lawrence.
Yes. Yeah, Jimmy was already working
He's
there.
He's kind of a scoundrel.
Yeah.
That's my brother-in-law. I guess can I say that on the
He's
air?
He's probably listening, Ed.
I can't. He's what?
He's probably listening.
Jim, I didn't really mean that. Your sister told me to say that. So 38 years with the Bartlesville Fire Department, you've seen a lot of changes.
Yes.
Seen a lot of people come and go.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people come and go.
Yeah.
I think I'm the last of the bunch that was there when I came. I think I'm the guy left that's left.
Yeah, and I know that I'm grateful that for such a time as this, you've become a chief of the Bartlesville Fire Department and appreciate your leadership in the department. I'd like to, for the public to understand the fire department a little better, and you brought a battalion chief with you. And would you introduce your battalion chief? Might slide this over just a little bit there.
This is brought battalion chief Brett Chu with me today to talk about kind of our what happens when the bell goes off and on a structure fire, for instance, and kind of how we, all the steps that kind of happens prior to us arriving on scene and then after we arrive on scene.
I think it'd be good to know. I think it'd be interesting to for the folks to understand what all it is that goes on. And of course, as battalion chief, he's on a particular shift. He heads that event up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have three battalion chiefs, one on each shift, and Brett's the battalion chief on what we refer to as C shift. We have an A, B, and C shift. And those shifts, they work 24 hours.
Correspond, or days that correspond for A, B, and C?
Well, the days change all the time. So, right, we'll work 24 and off 48. So, Brett, he starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, or actually 7:30 in the morning, till 7:30 the next morning, then another battalion chief relieves him.
And then the following, there's a third one. And Who are the other two? I know Mike
Remington is the battalion chief on A shift, and Jim Majors is the battalion chief on B shift.
And how many currently, talk about the structure of personnel on the fire department today.
We've got 22 firefighters on each shift, so we have a total of 66. And those 22 guys that's on shift is we run 5 engine companies. Manning allows us, sometimes we run 6 if we have the manning available. And that's pretty much a normal day. And we never operate with less than 16.
That's a minimum manning?
Yes.
And that's for safety purposes?
Yes.
Primarily. Yeah. And of course, the number 66, we came up with that because it's a Phillips in town is how we came up with the
sounds
number.
Sounds reasonable to assume anyway.
That'll get out there now. I didn't want to tell everybody that, but 66.
Shameless plug.
Yes, yeah. It is. Well, not ashamed at all. proud company. So we have 22 firemen per shift. And give us the command structure of a shift. It's a military type organization as we run it around a military structure.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Well, our battalion chiefs are like our shift supervisors. I mean, they're the incident commander on pretty much all structure fires, any event that's going to require two or more engine companies to be on scene. Typically, the battalion chief will respond with those, and they assume the incident command once they get on scene. And then each one of our engine companies has a captain, a driver, and a firefighter. And the captain, of course, is the crew leader. And then the driver, equipment operator, they're the ones that actually pump the trucks and drive the truck from the station to the scene. And then the firefighters are there to from the neck down.
Okay, I don't want. We're not gonna say anything about that. They're not gonna say anything about that at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
So, the dispatch. Let's start with the first of this. Don't start. But so we have a dispatch. It's at the sheriff's department.
Yes.
City of Barbersville has a dispatch center there.
Yeah,
and I wish I could tell you how many people they have on duty today. I don't really know. I think 3, but I'm not. Don't hold me to that.
It's between 3
we'll
and 4.
We'll have to talk to Kevin
3 and 4
about that.
Saw him this morning.
Yeah.
With the police department looking at going to 10-hour shifts, he's scratching his head over how to organize dispatch. So dispatch gets a call from a citizen about a fire.
Yeah, it could come
Let's
in.
Let's keep it at a fire.
Okay. Well, they could get a call from somebody passing by. They may have an automatic alarm system that could notify the dispatch.
You had a fireman smell smoke.
We had a fireman here just over the holidays. Was coming to work and arrived at Station 2 and could smell something and got to drive around looking and actually found the house that's just a few houses north of the Station 2 that was on fire. And actually he tried to call it in on his cell phone, but it rolled to Tulsa for some reason, so anyway, he had to call it in from the fire station. They responded from there.
Those fires come in a number of different ways, but they're they call into dispatch at the 911 center. And walk us through what happens from there.
Well, you can jump in anytime
Brett
you want.
Chu, Brett Chu, the battalion chief, is here, and
when the alarm comes in, they'll determine the dispatch who should respond.
The hangover here, Charlie, is caused by John is Chief Banks.
Yes.
Was a battalion chief.
Yes.
And so, go ahead.
Well, anyway, I'm gonna let him jump in here in just a minute. They get the call. Dispatch determines what crews should respond to that call. Depending on where it's at, where the location in the city is. You know, if it's west of the river here, it's typically Station 2 and Station 1.
Because, and might back a little further up here, how many stations do we have in town, fire stations?
We have 4 stations.
And they're strategically located?
Yeah, we have one at Virginia and Hensley, one downtown at 6th and Johnstone, on Price Road, Station 4, which is right behind Food Pyramid out there, and then Station 3, which is there at Madison Tuxedo.
And we also have our...
It's Brett Chu.
We also have our the city divided up into zones. And each particular station or engine company is first due response in the zones that are set aside for their area and their so dispatch automatically knows if it's a zone that say on the southeast side of town that Station 4 is going to be responsible first due on that zone.
They'll be the ones, and of course we structure it that way and we train for it that way, and our insurance ratings are based around response times from certain stations.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a number of things that drive that.
Yeah. But
so dispatch notifies the appropriate station, and how do they notify? How are they notified?
We have an alarm system, and the tones go off. And
tone, what does that mean?
Well, there's a, I don't know if there's anybody, I hate to date myself here, but if anybody ever watched the show Emergency, okay.
Those are called pagers.
Those are pagers,
yeah. That was a Jack Webb production, yes.
Yeah, well, that we have a tone system that is similar to that, and of course, the guys that have been here around, they know if it's their station before the beep beep at the end goes off or not. I mean, they know immediately if it's going to be their station that's called out. So, and they respond them to a structure fire. We're going to say there were some people in town that had a run of bad luck over the holidays. I think we had 4 structure fires in 36 hours during the Christmas holidays, which is very unfortunate. But anyway,
no loss of life.
No.
Not other than some animals.
Yeah.
Which was bad enough.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we get the call, our trucks roll, they notify dispatch that they're in route. And the first arriving company will set up command. The first arriving officer, he'll pull up and he'll give a real short overview of what he sees when he rolls up on scene. You know, he'll say Pumper 4 is on scene. We got a single story dwelling, fire showing on the AB side or through the roof or whatever. This is Cherokee Hills Court Command.
Now, the driver pulls up. Now, there's a plugman that's on the truck.
Yep.
What does a plugman do?
A lot of things.
Well, and for instance, let me back up just a little bit. John was talking about them giving a scene size up when they get there. Let me kind of clarify what that does. That gives all the rest of us that aren't there yet, we already get in our mind what we've got, and we can start thinking about what we need to do when we get there. John used that Cherokee's Hills Court address. That was actually one of our fires this last weekend, weekend for us. But typically the plugman on... Maybe not on the first due truck, depending on the severity of the fire, but for sure on the second due truck, is going to catch the fire hydrant, catch the plug. And
he jumps off the truck, grabs the hose,
wraps it around the fire hydrant, and they drive into the fire. Actually, on this fire and the fire that C-Shift had before this fire, we have had a fire hydrant in the front yard of both of those houses. So we haven't had to do that. Oh, okay. That's pretty handy.
Yeah, it is.
That's
handy.
Pretty handy. I told my guys not to get used to that. So. But
and so the truck pulls up, he announces his assessment over the radio and the rest key off of that.
Yes. And then after that first arriving captain gets there, His first plan of action is to do what we call a 360, and that is to see all 4 sides of that building, if at all possible.
So the captain gets out and walks, if possible, looks at all 4 sides.
Yes, to get a full picture of what he's dealing with. Hopefully in that period of time, the other trucks and the battalion chief are arriving on scene. Hopefully it's a pretty short amount of time between the first arriving truck and the last arriving truck.
Now, depending on where the trucks are coming from, you know, obviously on that particular fire, you had a crew coming from Central Fire Station at 6th and Johnstone. You had a crew coming from Station 4 at on Price Road. Then you had a crew coming from Station 3 at Madison Tuxedo. So, you know, they're running, everybody's kind of running towards one another, which is ideal for us. So there probably wasn't a whole lot of time lapse between when the first crew got there and the next crew. I mean, you know, they're going to get there pretty close.
Yeah.
And then when Brett gets on scene, you know, he makes a call usually whether to take over command or, you know, if need be, and typically they do.
And when you arrive on the scene, how do you assess the fire itself, but what about people in the house? What do you do there, Brett?
Well, let me just give you a for instance of how that particular
on
fire
Cherokee
went.
Hills.
On Cherokee Hills Court. When I arrived on scene, I took command, contact dispatch, let them know that I'm taking command. I get out of my vehicle and I parked about a half a block back down the road from this house to stay out of the truck's way. And as I'm walking up there, one of the neighbors tells me that she thinks that the occupants are in this house. So it's one of those deals that when the, you know, I've got my first due truck in, they have done their assessment. They're starting to pull hoses off the truck, getting the truck hooked to the hydrant. My second due truck in, you know, we're going to do a rescue. And we did, you know. And I told my guys, I said, you know, do a very quick rescue search. And
how's that work? Got a house filled with smoke. You can't see where you're going.
They
don't know, and you're not familiar with the house. I mean, you don't live there.
They, unlike the movies, when you get in one of these,
this got to work out.
Houses,
like,
you can't see inside one of these buildings. Well,
I mean, in the movies, you can see very plainly.
Right. The guys told me about 2 foot inside the door, they actually couldn't. They couldn't see their flashlights in their hands, and they had them on. They actually could not see their flashlights. So they do it by feel. They'll go in the house. Of course, they're going into the unburnt section of the house. They keep contact with, say, if they go into the house and they start into a room and go to the left, they'll stay on the wall and they reach out with their, most of them will take an axe or some type of pry tool with them, and they'll keep contact with the wall and they'll search with their arms and their legs, and it's all by feel because they have no visibility at all.
How do you find your way back out?
If you go into one of those areas and if you go in and go to the left in the door, go in the left, you're gonna come back out the same door if you go all the way around the room. It's like going around the world. If you keep going one direction long enough, you're ended up back where you started.
Okay. So, what happened?
Fortunately, no one was in this house. Guys came out, they did come out with a cat when they came out and worked on the cat for a little bit and that was unsuccessful, but that's even stuff that we do also. So,
and the if there is a fire, do you use like a fog line? Bring a line in a small, like an inch.
Three-quarter lines, what we usually.
And you walk in, you fog in front of you. If you're doing a rescue and you think there's somebody and there's fire, and then follow the line back out.
Not necessarily. I mean, the guys in the rescue may be, in this instance, they're in part of the house where there is no fire. They never squirted any water at all.
Okay.
The firefighting operation was on the opposite end of the house.
This has been a garage.
This particular fire started in the garage.
It actually was a garage. Garage and a utility room. But as soon as the search operations are over with, then we convert that crew over to another fire attack.
Yeah.
In some instances, if we need to ventilate the house, they would go. We might use those as a ventilation crew. But in this situation,
what's a ventilation crew?
Where we actually cut a hole in the roof. I mean, sometimes people might have seen us on the roof with chainsaws and stuff. Sometimes we will actually cut a hole in the roof to let the smoke and the heat, some of that out.
This one actually burnt through the roof.
This one actually did it for us. It was actually through the roof.
It had a hole in the roof
when we got there, yeah. A big hole. But like I say, on this situation, we didn't have to vent it. It had vented itself, so So we use those as another fire tactic.
Were the residents home at the time?
No, they were not. There was the kids were with their grandparents, and mom and dad were both out of, well, dad was out of town, and mom was shopping in Owasso.
There are 22 men per shift. How many showed up? And say, because we have women on the fire department also, but how many showed up for this event?
We actually had three trucks on the initial response. We had one truck. We had one truck that came to us from downtown. They came non-emergent just to kind of stand by. They weren't out of service. They were just there with us. So we had four on both of the trucks from the east side of town. There was eight. So we had one truck from Central that had three on it. That's 11. Myself was 12. And then we had another truck from Central sitting there with three more on it.
Okay.
So.
Well, this is like a drama built up to this point, and I want to go on, but we're going to have to end with another story. John, I want to redirect this conversation. We've got 4 minutes to go. Because the Bartlesville Fire Department at the end of this month, I want you to talk about that.
Well, the January 31st of this year will be 112 years that the Bartlesville Fire Department's been in existence. Started in January 31st, 1905. And I don't know if anybody has ever noticed our shoulder patches, but at the bottom of our shoulder patch, it's got a 1905 on there. Every once in a while, somebody will ask, you know, what is that? That was the year Ed was born.
John Banks was born in Pruneville in 1905.
Yeah. So anyway, and this year is going to be our 112th anniversary. And I had a group of guys that's approached me here, it's been a year and a half or so ago, about having an honor guard for the Bartlesville Fire Department. And as far as I can find out, there's never been an honor guard at the Bartlesville Fire Department. But that's going to change shortly. We're getting ready to have one. I have chosen six members of the department. That's going to be the first six members that will serve on that honor guard, and we're eventually hopefully reach 10 when we're done, and I think it'll bring a lot of pride to the department. I think it's something long overdue, something we should have been doing.
I think you're right, and that's why I wanted to spend just a few minutes on this. In fact, I want to spend a little more than that on it. So 112 years old on the end of this month, and you're going to have to get uniforms for these guys, aren't you?
Yep. Yeah, they'll have to have Class A uniforms. We're going to have to teach them how to march and how to present flag and stuff, and they'll attend special events here in town if they're requested. Those requests will come through my office, and we'll be available for the public to present flags at ball games or whatever.
And if they have, if someone would like to help out with this financially, or you would have questions about it, who can they call?
Well, they can call my office, 918-338-4098. And
one more time.
918-338-4098.
I think it's a splendid idea. We used to have an honor guard years and years and years ago. And
the fire department did?
Back when you said when they first started.
No, I've never known
them.
No, I didn't. No, you may have misunderstood, Ed. I would never lie to you.
Never lie to me. Yeah. You might mislead me, Charlie.
I can't find that we've ever had an honor guard for the Bartlesville Fire Department since its
inception. Well, I hate to tell you this, but I've got one of our crack staff working on this.
Well,
if anybody can find it up
in the history museum.
If anybody can bird dog get,
yeah,
she certainly will.
Another organization does have one in town.
Yeah, the PD has an honor guard. Yeah. Yes, the police department has an honor guard, and
but we're gonna put one together and here and outfit that rascal, and I look forward to them shining and representing the fire department at events.
Yes, I'm glad we've got gentleman on the department that's willing to pick it up and do that. Ed, you're giving me the cutoff.
Got the hook. Brett Chu, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for all you do, man. Great job. You're proud of our fire department.
We enjoy serving the public.
Chief Banks, I'll look forward to working with you the rest of the day.
All right.
Charlie, thank you for your time. God bless the city of Bartlesville.
Amen.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is